We have some special treats for you today. The service is going to be a little bit different to what it usually is. And we're going to hear from some special people. We're all special people, right? But I know that a lot of people come to church on Mother's Day, and probably not anybody here, but we come because we want to honor our moms, and we're going to go to church with your mom, and it's like really cool, and you're going to probably hear a message that's not really relevant to your life, but it's about your mom, right? Well, I want to tell you that the word is relevant and effective in everybody's lives, no matter who it's targeted to. You know, the word is full of Paul's letters, for instance. He writes to a lot of different kinds of people, but we still make that applicable to our lives today. So even though we're going to focus a lot on mothers and being effective mothers and what that looks like as women even, I want you to know that the word spoken is for the guys too. It's for everybody, right? Amen. So I just wanted to preface it by saying that there's going to be a take home for everybody here today. There's going to be a lot of different flavors and a lot of different things you're going to hear and see today. So I'm just so excited, and thank you, Eric, and the leadership of the church for allowing me to take this today, because I want to be a blessing, and I want my life to be fruitful. Amen. I think that's the prayer of all of us. And I've been thinking a lot about fruitfulness in my life because, as most of you know, it's my big birthday this coming week. My big one, for those of you who don't know, it's number 50. I don't even want to say it. It's like, whoa. Okay, I remember when I used to think 50 was old. It's not. I promise, it really isn't old. Look at me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, sometimes I do feel like it is, but I realize now that I'm here, it's like, okay, all the scary things I thought happen to people when they're 50. Well, you know what? I'm not going to go into a lot of that, but honestly, I still feel pretty normal. And sometimes I think my children look at me and think, you're 12? You're behaving like that? So honestly, you know what? So anyway, but I have been thinking a lot about fruitfulness in my own life and looking back and also just been really looking back, maybe a little nostalgically on the years coming up to this one, this big one, and thinking, you know, just really pondering these last few weeks about the mountains that I've climbed. And the lessons that I've learned, and not that I've so not arrived, and it's like, really, how long do I have to climb this mountain? And even, you know, the successes, some of just the successes that I've had, and even some of the failures, the lessons that I didn't learn so well. And it's all the stuff of life, to quote one of my favorite TV shows. And I realize how important, the more I've been thinking about all these things that have led up to this stage in my life, I realize the absolute, the most important thing that has kept me through the good and the bad has been staying connected to my vine, Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? And we can't do anything without him. I love John 15, and I love that whole chapter, and I'd encourage you to go home and read it. But I'm going to just read verse 5. Says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And isn't that what our lives are about as Christians, as moms, as dads, as friends, as co-workers? It's about bearing fruit. But I love this last part, because he says right at the end of this little verse, apart from me, you can do nothing. No one has ever, ever accomplished anything apart from God. And you can say, yeah, but there's a lot of successful people out there who have accomplished a lot of things. No man has been given, has anything that the Lord has not given them. And so it is our responsibility as believers to stay connected to the vine if we want to bear fruit, right? And so, yeah, apart from me, I can do nothing. How many of you can attest to that? Apart from God, gosh, I don't even want to get up in the morning. There have been many days in my 50 young years that I haven't wanted to get up in the morning, because apart from him, I can't do anything. And I know that if you've had children, can I just steer this in the mommy direction? If you've had children for 5 minutes, you will know the truth of that statement, right? Okay, you think that's good? If you've had children that are teenagers and young adults, let me hear a yes and amen. Yeah, we can't do anything apart from him. And so I have this passion to be fruitful in my life. And the wonderful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we can lay the things of the past behind us and we can press forward towards the mark, right? And that's our journey. That's our journey as Christians, as believers, as men and women of God, is pressing forward in his hope that he gives us. So I don't want to just be a survivor. I want to be fruitful for his kingdom. So I was encouraged this week. I came across, really, it was just such an amazing, I mean, I'm not going to go into how it all happened, but I came across this message that was being shared actually at a luncheon by a mother of a very famous person that we all know about. And I think most of us, if we know enough about this young man, kind of admire him. And anyway, it's Tim Tebow's mother. Isn't that amazing? You Americans, you love your sports. And so I thought, this is pretty cool. And I want to share a segment of her message with you today. And Greg's going to cue that up for me, and I'll tell you when to play it, Greg. But I just want to say, yeah, so you guys, I just thought, oh, you know what? The Americans, they love their sports. They love, you know, football. He does play football, right? Okay, you see, I'm like, ugh. Okay, I think it's a football. He's a football guy. But anyway, we're not all, you know what? I was thinking about it, and it's like, you know, we're not all going to be raising famous Tim Tebow's or whoever it is. But the people, the little people, our little brothers and sisters in Christ that God puts into our nest, have a hope and a future in God. And I just wanted you to be so encouraged. I was so encouraged by what she shared. And like I said, I'm gonna play a bit of what Pam Tebow shared with you. And this is not for you to look at, for some of you to look at. And I know some of us, we look back on our story, especially as older parents, and we can say, oh my gosh, my story doesn't look like that. It's not about your success story. It's about the faithfulness of God. And I want you to remember that. And I want you to remember that God's overarching narrative and story in our lives and in the lives of our children is not over. It's not over. His kingdom will come. Amen. So, anyway, I want to play you the segment from her message, and it's the story of what God can do when we trust him completely and make his word the foundation of how we do family. And no one says it better than what Pam Tebow does. So I want you to sit back and just enjoy this 5-6 minute segment that she's going to share.
So God called us to the mission field in 1985, and we already had 4 kids. It was a very turbulent political situation there at the time, a lot of cultural challenges, no contact with family and friends, but God was a faithful master. And then about a year after we arrived, my husband prayed that we would have a son and that God would raise him to be a preacher. And it was in the context of weeping all those, over all those babies that were being aborted. And it took me a little while to get on board. Somebody mentioned to me that I had a lot of courage mentioning my age at the time. When my husband came home and told our kids that we were praying for a son, they all said, yes, let's do it. And they prayed for Timothy, which means honoring God. Now, it took me a while to be on board because I was already 37, and you can count that up in your mind. It doesn't bother me a bit. It helps to be older. You don't take yourself so seriously. Isn't that true? And I already had 4 kids. I had just been through a life-threatening case of amoebic dysentery. I knew what the health conditions were, but I prayed along with them. And I did get pregnant. The Lord answered our prayers. And I had a real difficult pregnancy, very, very, very difficult pregnancy. We kept thinking we lost Timmy, and I went to the best doctor in town. And she told me that I needed to have an abortion. And, of course, we were going to trust our master, so I didn't do that. But we would have still trusted him had he chosen to take my life in childbirth or the life of our son. But he miraculously spared both of our lives. And at the very end of my pregnancy, the bleeding stopped, and I was able to travel to Manila and give birth in a hospital. And my husband stood next to the doctor when Timmy entered the world, and he said, Mr. Tebow, this is a miracle baby, because just a little shred of the placenta was intact that whole time. But the Lord preserved that little boy, and he was born somewhat malnourished, so we asked all of our family and friends to pray that he would grow big and strong, and he did, and this sweet lady at my table said that happened to her son, and she was inspired as she heard me say that another time, that she prayed for her son to grow big and strong. And I have a daughter and a son-in-law with the IMB on the mission field, and their little boys had so many parasites, and so it stunted his growth, and they're praying now that he will grow big and strong. So it's a great prayer. It's a great prayer. And we are so thankful that our master is so faithful. And the closer you get to know him, to trust him, the more his love will transform you and enable you to be more like him, to love like him. So master is always the beginning. And then God has given us a manual for influence. When I went to that little Bible study, that's what I learned. You know, a lot of us turn to the internet or to other people, to other books, to magazines, to whatever, our own intelligence, when this is a manual inspired by him, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that will be adequate, equipped for every good work. We want to be influential. This is how God equips us. Well, I really felt like it was important to teach my kids scripture. And think about this, what's learned in song is remembered long. Now, you can't imagine someone without a good voice singing to you at a very sophisticated event like this, but I'm probably going to do that because it's one way to communicate the power of God's word, and it doesn't take a good voice to do it. Last night, I had the privilege of speaking to a whole group of football moms, and they were so precious, and so they were asking me all these questions like, how do you teach them not to be arrogant? Well, we had a verse for that. And, you know, well, we had a verse for that. And so that's when you teach your kids verses to combat what they're going through. So one of them was arrogant kids. You know, if they're arrogant when they're children, they're going to be arrogant when they're adults. And we see a whole lot of that, don't we? So we had to make up this verse, let another praise you and not your own mouth. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. So after they hear that over and over and over, they kind of get it, don't they? And we had a good friend, a pastor friend that some of you know, Jimmy Scroggins, just a wonderful friend of ours. And he brought his family to visit us one Thanksgiving. And he had, at the time, he had 5 boys involved in athletics. And he said, Mrs. Tebow, do you think you could teach my boys how to deal with losing football games? I said, I can do that. Because we have boys that have lost games, not just football, but basketball and baseball. And, you know, there's lots of winning and losing in sports, but it's a great opportunity. And so how do you influence them to be able to take those losses? Because, you know, if they can take losses when they're a little boy, then they can take the bigger challenges, the disappointments we have later in life. Isn't that true? And we have them. All of you know, we have great challenges. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will. And you get it. You probably get that song. They're not very clever, are they? But still, they take root in their lives. And they take root in mine as well, as I'm teaching that to them. So we had our little boys come when they lost a game. And they'd have to bow their little heads and fold their hands and say, "Dear Jesus, thank you that we lost." And they weren't grateful they lost. But they were grateful that they could trust the Lord with their loss, that he knew what he was doing with their lives. So when you're a big boy and you have losses that are more significant, you know right what to do. You know, someone interviewed Timmy and they said, "Well, how did you deal with this particular loss?" And he said, "Well," and I read this in the paper, he said, "You know, years ago my mom taught me this verse and it comes back to my head and I know that I have to thank the Lord. I'm so grateful that we have the option of using this manual to enable us to have influence." It's a great, great opportunity. I could just tell you lots and lots of examples because this is my, you know, this is just my favorite resource that God has given us. And it's such a tool for influence. It really does enable us to have influence. You know, you need to read, study, and prepare yourself for a life of influence with this great manual that God has given us.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. We are created to be people of influence, all of us. And I often think that we sometimes underestimate the littlest among us. We underestimate the power that we have in their lives because we think, well, they're so young. What are they going to remember? What do they know? But it is amazing. She goes on, and I'd encourage you, you can find this on Google, the whole message. I want to encourage you to go and listen to it. And she talks about being people of influence and how these young ones are always watching us. And maybe you aren't a parent, but you have young people around you that are watching you. You are an influencer for the good or for the bad. And so I was just so blessed by that story, by her story today, but now I've got another exciting thing for you. So we're going to hear from a few of our own here in our own body today, and I thought it would be wonderful to have three mothers from three different generations in our church come and share what God has put on their hearts for you today. I've given them the liberty to hear from the Lord this week. And so I know for some of them, that's been a little stretching, but that's good. That's good, right? We need to be stretched. And so I chose a mother from each stage in their journey because, like I said, there's going to be something for everyone here today. And so I would like you to give them your undivided attention. I chose a young mommy with three little ones, who is right at the beginning and the onset of her journey. And I've chosen a middle-aged mother. Can I call you that? A middle-aged mother with teenagers and just adult children. And I've asked a grandma who is a great-grandma and about to be a great-great-great-grandmother who's going to come and share with us too. So without much further ado, I'm going to invite Audrey. Audrey is the mommy of, like I said, three little ones, all under the age of three. Just for that, let's give her a hand.
Yeah, the loud ones, those are mine. I'm Audrey, 3 under 3, so I have Brooke is 6 months, Jordan is 20 months, and Adeline is just about to turn 3. Been married to Nick for almost 7 years, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. So Mother's Day for me ideally looked like staying in bed all day. Which I've wanted to do for the past 3 years, and it never gets to happen. So when Tammy asked me to speak, I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to church then. here I am. So I was asking God, what do you want me to talk about? Because I didn't really want to go to church. And, but I knew I had to speak because he's just been teaching me so much through motherhood. And, I started thinking about, okay, what am I learning? How am I feeling? What's my relationship with God like? And I'm like, I'm just so tired all the time. So, it's been a bit difficult, but what I'm working toward is Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13, which just says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So I put this little sign in my house, and it says, all I need is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. So that's just my daily reminder that I can do everything with Christ. My nights are rough because I have three little ones. They're all waking up at night at different times. And then Nick gets up very early in the morning for work. So I don't get a whole lot of sleep. And my mom will tell you, since I was an infant, baby, I love sleep. I love sleep so much. As a baby, I would sleep till 9 o'clock. The neighbors would be coming over with their kids early in the morning. Oh, you must be up because you have kids. And she's like, my kids are asleep. Leave us alone till 10. Come on. So every day, by the time I wake up, I'm already on empty. My tank is on empty, and I'm just running on fumes every single day. And that's not to say, oh, look at me, I'm super mom because I can do all of this on fumes. It's I'm living on Isaiah 40, verse 31, which says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to give glory to God for that, because those fumes that I'm running on, that's the breath of God. I'm literally functioning every day on the breath of God. Psalm 73, verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God gives us everything we need, physically, mentally, emotionally, everything, to, like Tammy said, not just survive, but to thrive. So I can not only get out of bed, give my children breakfast, make it through the day, but actually enjoy it and actually teach them to love God as well. And that's all through his provision in my life. So really that's not just applicable to moms. It's really whatever you're going through, whether it's depression, financial instability, loneliness, whatever you're facing, God is your strength. And you can remember 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. See, we put ourselves in this power struggle with God. We want to have control of our lives, and we think, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And when we hit something that's really tough, we're like, oh, yeah, I guess I could use a little help from God on this one. But we don't need our own power. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So if we let ourselves be weak, then we end that power struggle. And there's actually room in our lives for God to fill us to overflowing with his strength. And we know Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. That's it.
Isn't she beautiful? Amen. I love her. Well, who was it? Emilio said a few weeks ago, the ladies in the church gave me a surprise birthday party, and at the party, I just want to thank you for that. Thank you, ladies. And I know some of you couldn't make it. I know that you were all invited, and some of you couldn't make it, but just the thought was so such a blessing. It was a first for me, so thank you. I do appreciate it. But at that little birthday celebration we had, my dear friend Katie Curry got up and she shared something that just was so powerful. And I asked her, she's our middle mom, okay? So she's the teenage young adults mom in our church. And Katie's just been such an inspiration to me on so many occasions. And anyway, especially at the, what she shared about the Proverbs 31 women. And I asked her if she would share that. Katie is the mom of four children, teenagers and young adults. Her oldest daughter is actually married. And I know that her journey has been not always an easy one as well, but and just continues to stand firm and know God's faithfulness in her life and in the lives of her children. So Katie, I want to introduce you and ask if you'll come and share with us what God has given you.
Good morning. My name is Katie, and I'm the wife of Scott. And like Tammy said, we have four children. Elizabeth's 24, and she's married and lives in Gloucester. Scotty's 21, and he's home from the Air Force and is working full-time right now. And then we have Joshua, who's a junior in high school, and Hannah, who's a freshman. And I love being a mom. I love it. It's so hard, but I love it. There are so many days that it is just challenging above what we feel like we can handle, it isn't it? And but God is faithful. So here's what God showed me, and I want to share it with you because I pray that it touches your heart and blesses you. Can I admit something to you all? When I am at my worst, I can doubt who I am. I doubt that I can do anything good. I doubt that I'm valuable. Some days I know I don't look an iota like Jesus. I look in the mirror, but his image is not what I feel like I see looking back. I see the image of a woman who is flawed, failing, floundering around. I can be hard on myself. Can you? It's easy on these days to feel really defeated. But more and more, as I learn to rest in his peace, peace that affirms who God says I am and not what I'm prone to be or prone to believe that I am, I find strength. Let me ask you this. Do you have a full understanding of your worth and value in Christ? Did you know that in Christ you are beautiful? He says in Song of Solomon 4:7, "You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no flaw in you." Did you know that to him you are valuable? She is worth far more than rubies, Proverbs 31:10 says, and that we are God's masterpiece. We are created as his beloved. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, he tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:26. I wanted to take a quick look at the Proverbs 31 woman. And I know that oftentimes we think, oh God, I don't want to look at her. But there's value in that. So let's look at it together. I want to start in verse 10 and just read to the end. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes out not by night. She lays her hands to the spindle and holds her hands to the staff. She stretches out her hand for the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the waves of her household and eats not of the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. As I was studying this, I noticed that one of the key components to being a Proverbs 31 woman is knowing that you are invaluable to the kingdom of God, especially to your family. What you have to offer is necessary for others and for your family to thrive. In Proverbs 31:17 and 18, it said, "She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night." A big idea pops up in these two verses. Strength. Often when we think of girding, we think of girding our loins as described in Ephesians 6 in the armor of God. Girding means to prepare and to hold things together, to reinforce or to encircle. So in this case, the Proverbs 31 was prepared and held things together by strength, not physical strength. This is speaking of her spiritual strength. The Proverbs 31 woman encircled herself, reinforced herself, strengthened herself with Jesus. How did she do this? Spending time with God, studying his word, being a godly woman, mother, wife, walking in righteousness, and choosing joy. I'm reminded of the scripture which says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength," in Nehemiah 8:10. Her joy came from a holy source. In turn, she had supernatural strength to walk fully and confidently as God designed her to. I found this really cool paragraph about girding your loins and what it meant in ancient times. Back in the days of the ancient Near East, both men and women wore flowing tunics. Around the tunic, they would wear a belt or a girdle. While tunics were comfortable and breezy, the hem of the tunic would often get in the way when a man was fighting or performing hard labor. So when ancient Hebrew men had to battle the Philistines, the men would lift the hem of their tunic and tuck it into their girdle or tie it in a knot to keep it off the ground. The effect basically created a pair of shorts that provided more freedom or movement. Therefore, to tell someone to gird up their loins was to tell them to get ready for hard work or battle. It was the ancient way of saying, "Man up." In and of ourselves, we cannot successfully man up, at least not long term, can we? We will fail. We will falter. We will eventually just collapse from exhaustion. However, in Christ, his strength never fails. when I think about strength, I think about an athlete. They might have to lift weights or run miles. The resistance is what makes them stronger. What is our resistance? Well, hard times, the devil, difficult situations. I wonder what the Proverbs 31 woman did to strengthen her arms, as it tells us. She prayed. She prayed. Praised. She worshipped. Studied the word of God. And served her family, even when she didn't want to. As I said before, the work that we do as women, wives, moms, is invaluable. It's about character. It's about doing the hard things when we don't want to, when we don't feel like we have the strength, when we don't feel emotionally strong enough. But God has gifted us. And our gifts are so essential for our families, for our community. So we need to focus on becoming strong in our character, our spirit man, and our soul, because these have eternal value. So just recapping my points. Know the value of your work. Be confident in what you bring to the table for your family, and for your community. You are priceless in the kingdom of God. We need to be held together by strength, the kind that comes only from a holy source. And that there's a difference between physical strength and spiritual strength. We need to focus on and make it a priority to become strong in character, in our spirit man, and in our soul. Folks, we are beautiful, we are valuable, and we are created as Christ's beloved. We are his masterpiece. Knowing who we are somehow changes our face. It changes our face in the mirror. It softens our face for the world that we face. It turns our face unashamedly toward God. We are in Christ, and we are powerful in him and beautiful because he is.
Amen. Thank you, Katie. Wow. We have some preachers in our midst, huh? Yeah. Wow, his word is rich. God's word is rich, and I want you to take it to heart today. Well, save the best for last. I love you both, but we saved the best for last. Maybe because of the pressing and the trial by fire. That just turns us into pure gold, right? It is my privilege to introduce to you a precious lady in this church and everybody. Nobody misses Pauline because she is the person who greets you when you come into church every Sunday. I have never seen this lady miserable. You've all seen me miserable, I'm sure. She is an example of someone who has stood through thick and thin in her life and is such an incredible inspiration to me personally, and I'm sure to many of you who know her. And if you don't know her, you need to get to know her. She's an amazing lady. She is the she is the mother of six. The grandmother of 13, 4 great-grandchildren, and in October will be a great-great-great-grandmother. Pauline.
Thank you, Tammy.
She doesn't have notes.
because it's been going around in my head now for a week. Ever since she asked me, But anyway, Tammy, 51. I mean, 50 years old. I remember when I turned 50, I was devastated. Oh, I was half 100. You know, that's all I could think of. I'm on my way down now. Here I am, 50. I'm like, oh, my God. And I can't believe today that I'm 81 and I don't know how I got here. You know, from 50. But anyways, I always wanted to be a mom. You know, that was my life's dream. And I was the oldest of six children. And my parents both worked, so I got to take care of all my siblings until I was 19 years old, and then I got married. And I had my first child, who was a daughter, when I was 20. And I kept getting pregnant every 2 years. And I had four boys. And my fourth boy was born without his brain functioning. And he couldn't see, he couldn't hear, and he never even moved a muscle. And I kept him home for a year and a half until I couldn't do it anymore because I had the other four kids to take care of. So I had to put him in an institution. And at that point in my life, I was born and raised a Catholic, and I went to Catholic school, and I went to church, and I went to confession, and I went to communion. Anyway, I did everything I was supposed to do. And I turned my back on God, and I didn't want anything to do with him because of what he did, you know, to my son. So after I put him in the institution, I took my four boys, my three boys, my daughter, and I left my husband because that had been an abusive situation anyway, and I really didn't have anywhere to go. So anyways, I took my children, and I went and I moved in with my mother and my father, and I got a job in an apartment, and at this point, I had divorced my first husband. I had met my second husband, and we got married. And soon after that, my son that I had, fourth son that I had, passed away. He was 8 and a half years old. And all I knew was that he was in heaven. That's where he went. My second husband, after we got married, he had four children. I had five. And eventually we had one. So that was 10 kids. So I was a mom to 10 kids, you know, after my own kids. And they were just like my own kids. I mean, they used to come and visit every week. And in those days, you know, there wasn't any seat belts, so we'd pile them all in the car and go to the beach or, you know, whatever. But anyways, my son was born 2 years after I got married, my youngest son, and we moved to Nantucket. And my son went to kindergarten there. He graduated from Nantucket High. He went to Fitchburg State for 2 years and then went into the military. And then he started sending me letters and postcards, and all he talked about was Jesus and how he had accepted Jesus and how his whole life had changed and that I should start looking for a church, you know, and he started working on me. And eventually, he did come home on leave, and he said, I got to find a church, but it has to be a non-denominational church. Because he was born and raised a Catholic, too, and he was an altar boy even. But anyway, he looked in the paper, and he found Living Hope Family Church, and he talked to Pastor Mike, and he said, I found a church. He said, but the pastor's got an accent. I think he's from Africa. So anyway, we came and parked in the parking lot here about 15 minutes early. And we saw all these people coming in. So we came in, And he just kept nudging me, and he said, now, don't freak out, because when they stop worshiping, sometimes they raise their hand and start jumping up and down. And I wasn't used to that. I was used to, you know, the Catholic Church and the hymns. And anyway, but I loved it, and I've been coming here now for 25 years. Yeah, come on. You know. Yeah. So anyways, I've always wanted, like I said, to be a mom, and I was privileged to have that role, I thought. You know, and my six children were a gift from God, a very, very precious gift from God. And, you know, you hear around when they're 18, they're on their own. I don't think so. You know, I mean, I have one of my sons is 45. The one that led me to the Lord has had a trouble with drugs and alcohol. And he's divorced now. And guess where he's living? You know, right at my house. I have never turned my back on any of my children. You know, it doesn't matter what they did, where they were still my children, and God gave them to me to take care of them. Not till they're 18. You know, I mean, I'll be a mom for the rest of my life. You know, and I know that. And I love being a mom. You know, I've always loved being a mom. And as my kids were growing up, I was a stay-at-home mom, too. You know, I always had the cookies and milk there when they got off the school bus. And, you know, no matter what happened, I was there. And I have a 55-year-old son, and he's divorced now, and he's living in, he's got his own little house. He lives about a mile from me. And he just had an operation on his neck, and they to unclog one of the arteries in there. And I took him to the hospital 5:45 in the morning, and I didn't get home till 4:00 in the afternoon, because there was no way I was leaving my son there all by himself. You know, it doesn't matter if he's 55 years old. I have a 57-year-old one too. You know, and thank God he's in Rhode Island, so I don't have to run down there all the time. Oh, my goodness. You know, and there's been, I've had a lot of tragedies in my life, you know, and the Lord has always been with me, but a lot of the times I didn't know he was there, because like I said, you know, I turned my back on the Lord after what happened to my son, my 8.5-year-old son, and the other two, when my son was, one of my sons was 41 years old, and he passed away. I found him in his car in the passenger seat, and he had been drinking with my other son. His wife drove him to my house. She came in and left him out there because he had passed out. And she said, oh, when he wakes up, you know, he'll come in the house. But he never came in the house, you know. And I went out there, and he looked like he was sleeping. His eyes were closed. He was at peace. I touched him, and I knew, you know, that he had passed away. But looking back now, you know, the Lord prepared me for that. I mean, my son came to visit the day after Thanksgiving. And we brought chairs right here to Living Hope Family Church. So he, because I had borrowed them for, I don't know, Thanksgiving. Anyways, he got to see my church. We went to his favorite restaurant for lunch. And that night, he sat on the couch, put his arms around me, and said, Mom, don't worry about me anymore. I'm going to be fine. And I love you very much. And he went to bed. And then the next day, he was gone. I was in shock, you know, for a long time. And the people of this church helped me get through that. And like I said, the Lord was with me through the whole thing. And then the comforting thing was I knew where he was. He was up in heaven with his brother. And that was in 2000, 2000. And in 2016, I got the dreaded phone call that my daughter had passed away. She was 57 years old. She had been battling drugs and alcohol for years and years. And the Lord was so good to me that just before she passed away, she came to stay with me. She had been in the hospital, and she came home, sat on my couch and said, "Mom, I am so broken." So 57 years old, I'm still the mom. You know, I gave her a bath. I cut her hair. I washed her hair. I fed her. And she was with me for a whole month, you know, that I could minister to her and take care of her. And then she went home, and a month after she went to sleep and never woke up. You know, so that was three tragedies that happened in my life. And once I got to know the Lord and I made him part of my life, you know, I could go through that, you know, and I did go through that. And like I said, I'll be a mom forever. And today I have grandchildren. So now I'm taking care of those. You know, I have dinner every Monday night. I call it a family dinner. And every Monday night I have my two sons and my two grandkids, the ones that live around here. And we have a family dinner every Monday. And then my grandson, he's 15, so he sleeps over on a Monday night, and he sleeps over on a Thursday night. So I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, make his breakfast, and bring him to school for 7 o'clock. You know, and I like to sleep in. Well, I don't sleep in too often. But, you know, it's been a blessing to me, these children. You know, like I said, God gave me these precious gifts of six beautiful children. And it doesn't matter what they do, what they say. You know, I'm still their mom. I have given them unconditional love. It doesn't matter what they do. They're still my children. They're still gifts. And I hold them dear to my heart. You know, and I just thank the Lord every single day. And the way I get through these things is I know God would never leave me or forsake me. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He always gives me what I need. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Pauline. I told you there was something for everyone. The thread that has come through all the stories that you've heard today has been God's faithfulness. And without him, we can do nothing. I started with that, and I'm going to end with that today. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we are not anybody, but we have him. And because of that, we have everything we need that pertains to life and to godliness. That's what his word says. Wow, I hope that these stories have touched your hearts. And one quick thing, I love what that Katie shared, and I think you saw it in all three of the ladies that got up, and even Pam Tebow that got up to speak today, and that we are precious in his sight. Every single one of us are precious to the Lord. We are valuable. And yes, if we can see ourselves the way God sees us, we will be people of influence. the ripple effect of our lives will go far beyond what we could ever hope or imagine. And because of that, I actually made a little gift, and it's kind of silly, I know, but I'm gonna give each lady, don't leave without taking one of these. And you're like, oh, wow, I know it's kind of, I'm kind of cheap, but I bought rocks, okay, and I wrote what the Lord thinks about you on these rocks, and I want the ladies to each take one of these today. And I actually took a picture of them and sent the picture to Audrey last night, and just to show her like the direction we were going with this. And I mean, the joke is that I love bling, so there's a little diamond on them. It's not real. If you don't like it, take it off. But from me, because we are precious, and we are His precious jewels. So I want you all, you know what, I love these kind of things, because they're just something we can put in front of you. You know what, have it on your desk, have it on your coffee table, have it, you know, you might not want to put it on your pillow. Don't throw it at anybody. It's not a weapon. It's a spiritual weapon, okay? But it's a reminder. It's a reminder. If you want to put a magnet on the back, you can stick it on your fridge. But remember that you are precious. You are loved. You are treasured. And there's a few different ones, so you can figure that out. And please don't leave. I'm going to maybe have somebody hold them. Maybe one of the young ones can hold them. Max, do you want to do that for us? Max will just have to hold it low because he's so tall. But Max, hold it down, okay? But not. It may be at the end of the service you can take this. And so, ladies, as you leave, take a rock. You know what? Our foundation. He is our rock. He is our foundation, right? So let's make that our belief system. Our value system is what He values, right? And He values you. So I want to end with a benediction today. And it's a benediction out of Hebrews 13. And I'm going to ask Greg if he'll put it up on the screen. And I'm going to have us all stand and put our hands over our hearts. And we're going to say it. And we're going to say it together. And let this just be the prayer and the meditation of your hearts today. Okay. May God, who puts all things together, makes all things whole, who made a lasting mark through the sacrifice of Jesus, the sacrifice of the blood that sealed the eternal covenant, who led Jesus, our great shepherd, up and alive from the dead, now put me together. Provide me with everything I need to please Him. Make us unto what gives Him the most pleasure. By means of the sacrifice of Jesus, our Messiah, all glory to Jesus forever and always. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Don't you love the message? I love that. Amen. I want to pray over you. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word that is the thread of our lives, the fiber of who we are, and it's the lamp that guides us and the light that leads us, Lord Jesus. And I want to thank you for your word today. I want to thank you for the lives of all the mothers and women and the men and the children here today. And Father, we pray today that you will truly make us fruitful for your kingdom, that you will truly restore and redeem the broken places in our lives, heal the wounded and broken hearts that some of us have, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our master and that you treasure us, you value us, you love us more than we could ever imagine. And we want to just surrender our love to you today as well. Thank you for this time we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen.